Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Professor, welcome in. Thanks for joining us today. What was it like for you?
It was a pleasure.
What was it like for you in the courtroom?
I've been in courtrooms all over the world. I've been in courtrooms in China, in Russia, in Ukraine, in England, in Israel, in Canada, you name it. I've been in courtrooms all over. I've rarely seen a spectacle like this one. This isn't a trial. This is a hanging. It's Alice in Wonderland, verdict first, trial thereafter. The judge was just ruling every possible ruling against the defendant. For example, he lets in the most irrelevant details about the woman's allegation about sex, that they used the missionary position, that he had certain kind of aftershave, that he had silk pajamas. All that's relevant, according to the judge, and not prejudicial. Then when the defendant wants to put on contradictory evidence, evidence that shows that the main witness against him, Michael Cohn, lied to the jury. No, that can't come in. That's irrelevant. So I was sitting in the courtroom, and I was batting my eyelashes, and I was staring at the judge. And then the witness was batting his eyelashes and staring at the judge. And the judge became Taxi Driver. Remember the great scene of Taxi Driver?
Yes.
Where the psycho looks at a guy and says, "You looking at me? You looking at me? You looking at me?" And the judge basically said that. And he cleared the courtroom, which is utterly unconstitutional. Sixth Amendment provides for a public trial. That means every minute of it must be public. And everybody got up and left, the journalists, the media people. He didn't throw me out. If he had tried to throw me out, I would have stood up and said, "Your Honor, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the public. And under the Sixth Amendment, I'm entitled to be here. And you're not entitled to throw me out unless there's a national security issue or something like that. Just because you lost your temper and you have a thin skin and you want to berate a witness? No, I'm not leaving." They would have had to carry me out, but I lost my moment. They didn't do it.
Then the judge
yeah, flattens him and says, "If you bat your eyelashes at me one more time or stare at me down one more time, I'm going to strike your testimony." You know what that means? That means he would strike the defendant. He didn't do anything wrong, the defendant. He didn't even know the witness. "I would strike all this evidence in favor of the defendant and deny you your right to confront witnesses under the Sixth Amendment." It would have been the most outrageous thing, but he was just bluffing. You know, he's a judge who is a tyrant, but he pretends to be a benevolent despot when the media is around. I don't think he realized I was in this courtroom, and I could account for every minute of it. I wish this trial was on television. Then we could see everything.
That's what I was going to ask you. Absolutely. This stuff ought to be televised. I mean, maybe the O.J. Case would have been a lot different if not televised. It's up to the judge to control it firmly, but not in a dictatorial fashion. Could it be this guy just doesn't have self-confidence in what he's doing?
Yeah, I think there's a little of that. But remember the O.J. case, we did a poll, and they found out that people who actually watched the case on television were not as surprised at the verdict as people who saw it through the prism of CNN.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of how terrible the reporting is. So there's a recess. I see one of my former students, a research assistant, Norm Eisenach, stayed in this house. A friend. I see him in the audience. I go to him and say, "Hey, Norm, how's your family? How's your wife? How are your daughters doing? How's stuff? How's the trial going? Okay." NBC reports that I got into a tiff with my opponent. And they report that. They report it. Finally, Norm Eisen wrote to NBC and to the Beast and said, "No, that's not what happened." So they retracted the story. But normally, they just report the way they want to report. If you watch it on MSNBC, this is the most serious crime since the Lincoln assassination, if the Lincoln assassination had been videotaped.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about the guilt of the defendant. If you watch it on other channels, there's no doubt about the innocence. We, the American public, have the right to make up our mind for ourselves. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
We're talking with Professor Alan Dershowitz. Now, jury instructions, we've seen some stuff on this. How important are they? And I'll tell you what I'm thinking as a dime store, a non-lawyer who just went to law school versus someone like you. There's going to be two or three people, maybe two, at least one, that's going to hold out in this. They're going to see it the way that you're talking about, I think. And if they can go back to jury instructions that are fair here, they'll have some leverage to hang on to with it when they get into the jury room. There are going to be some people that think Trump is a danger, and they're going to find him guilty because he's dangerous.
Yeah. That's right. But I think the jury instructions will be utterly unfair. From what we know, the jury will be instructed as follows. Look, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the entry, that it was a retainer or legal payments instead of that it was a reimbursement for a non-disclosure agreement, that was fraudulent. They have to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. They have to prove that Donald Trump knew or directed that the entry be made that way. I don't think they can get over that hump. But if they do, they then have to conclude, but not by a reasonable doubt, according to this instruction, only by a preponderance, 51%, that the intention behind it was to commit another crime. Now, there are several other crimes, one more ridiculous than the other. One crime is that he intended to defraud the voters of New York by pretending to be a virgin. It's absurd. You think anybody thought that Donald Trump was not somebody who would touch women's genitals?
Yeah.
He said that. He admitted it on tape. So nobody could be defrauded. In any event, nobody in New York voted for him. Everybody voted against it. That's absurd. Then they say, although he didn't file a deduction for those expenses, he didn't actually deduct them, he may have intended to, although he never did it. So those are two of the crimes. And the jury doesn't have to specify which crime they believe. All they have to do is agree that some crime was intended when he made the entries, and they have to prove that only by a preponderance. So it's a terrible instruction, and it may very well be reversed on appeal, but that'll be after the election probably.
One other big thing since you've been here, to see and to hear that George Clooney's wife is involved in this international body, and in ultimate equity, diversity, equity, and inclusion, I guess, saying that Benjamin Netanyahu should get the same treatment as one of the architects of October 7th shocks even the Biden administration on this. What do you say about it?
Well, I've been advising the Israeli government on this, and I've been in touch with the special prosecutor's office, and I told them that this will be the end of the International Criminal Court. No one will take them seriously. The treaty that created the court says you cannot prosecute or investigate anybody if they come from a country which has a judiciary that is a legitimate judiciary that is capable and willing to investigate. Now, no country has been willing to investigate its leaders more than Israel. Five of its leaders, five of them, have been prosecuted. Four prime ministers, one of whom ended up in jail, I visited him there, and the president of Israel ended up in jail. There's no other country in the world that has prosecuted its leaders more vigorously. In fact, it led me to make up a joke which became prominent in Israel. After I visited Ehud Olmert in his prison cell, I said, when you ask for a former prime minister's cell number in Israel, it's not necessarily his telephone. And who do you think was guarding him? An Arab 22-year-old was guarding him. Who do you think sentenced the president of Israel to, 5 years in prison? An Arab judge. There's no judiciary more aggressive in going after its people. And so the ICC is acting absolutely lawlessly beyond its statutory authority. And it's outrageous. And I will stop at nothing to help destroy the credibility of that court if it goes ahead and issues warrants against leaders of a democratic country. It would be the only time in history that the court has ever issued a warrant against a democratically elected leader in a country that has a completely fair and vigorous judiciary. It's more unlawful than anything they accuse Netanyahu of doing.
Current book, Professor Dershowitz, War Against the Jews, How to End Hamas Barbarism. Thank you, Professor, as always.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend, and hopefully
you
we'll
too.
Talk soon.
You too.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.